ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी कंक्लूडेड विद द डेथ ऑफ कर्ण एंड व्हाई समवन इवन आफ्टर हियरिंग फ्रॉम सो मेनी ग्रेट सोल्स ही हर्ड फ्रॉम सो मेनी पीपल इंक्लूडिंग कृष्ण एंड स्टिल ही वुड नॉट चेंज। Therefore, in the Mahabharata, it is explained by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. He said, sometime one acts according to the will of the Lord. Some people are used according to the will of the Lord. And secondly, most people act according to their karma, their background. You know, what is their background? And third reason, Sanjaya told, because of their surrounding. If your surrounding is bad and your karma is bad, then little philosophy listening would not work. Unfortunately for Karna, his birth was, as we discussed yesterday, was caused by dharma lopa, and secondly he kept a bad association all the time, and he considered that association to be very important. He gave more importance to his personal liking and disliking rather than the, you know, use for the society. And more important was his background. In fact, in the Shastra that is explained, another point yesterday Shinajipu was reminding, that when the battle begin, very interesting, the Kurukshetra battle or any battle which are mentioned in the Vedic literature, you know, they had some rules and regulations. You would never find that any time the warriors would kill innocent citizens. That is the present day war. You bomb, start bombing where civilians are there. But during the battlefield of Kurukshetra, very clear, you would never touch any women, no children, no old men. And it is not that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Mahabharata explains that not only warriors were there, they required, you can imagine the cooks, how many cooks they needed, how many people to carry a lot of wood. And most warriors did not have their quiver, which was inexhaustible. Very few people had inexhaustible quiver. So Mahabharata explains, many warriors would have assistant carrying cartload of weapons, but they were never touched. It was a grand arrangement. Nobody can imagine arranging that kind of battle with so many people involved, and then you needed washermen, you needed, you know, barbers, you needed so many people just to make the field very comfortable for them to fight. So therefore, before the war begin, both the parties, the commanders and others, they met together and they decided what are the laws. So the laws were that Ekrati will fight with the Ekrati. The chariot fighter will fight with the chariot fighter. The elephant rider would fight with the elephant rider. So always they had all the rules for the match. Nowadays even in the sports such rules don't exist. There was a war, but there was such an amazing rule. Even during the battle, as we were discussing yesterday, that the Pandavas followed the etiquette. Even on the war, there are the principle of proper etiquette, take blessings. Sometimes even while worshipping in spirituality, people don't follow the culture. When Arjuna was fighting against Kauravas in the Virata battle, first thing he did was he shot two arrows. One close to the ears of Dronacharya and one at his feet. And Dronacharya was in ecstasy. He could not go straight and meet him. One arrow was to seek his blessings and permission. One was for blessings and one was for, you know, permission. The ear arrow was for permission. The feet arrow was for blessing. Then he continued his fighting. Extreme degree of culture was maintained. Therefore, both parties agreed to follow the law. But the first people who broke the law was Kurus on the day of killing Abhimanyu. Maharati is not one, six Maharatis. Officially, Abhimanyu was not a Maharati in one sense, but he acted more than the Maharati. So the six Maharatis, and specially headed by Karna and Dronacharya, were responsible for brutally murdering this young lad of 16-year-old. So why would he do like this? So therefore these Shastras explain, as we were discussing the first day, the Vedic literature are all connected. You will find every concept, what the Bhagavatam speaks, you know, the concept you'll find, or the characters or the personality you'll find in other Vedic literature also. The personality you'll find. Why they come there, like we discussed about that dog, Devashuna. Suna's shape or name is there, but where do you find the connection? You find the connection in the Vedas. So in the Padma Puran, the explanation is given about Karna's previous birth. Also in the Stala Purana of Badrinath, this explanation is given, that there was a demon, his name was Sahasrakavach. So this demon had performed tapasya to please Lord Brahmaji. And Brahmaji appeared to him and he asked for the benediction. The benediction was that nobody should kill me. Demons ask the same benediction all the time. I want to be invincible and I want to be immortal. And Brahmaji said, you can't be immortal. Then he said, okay, I want a benediction through which I need 1,000 armors. 1,000 kavachas. And these 1,000 kavachas, if anyone destroys one of the kavach, he should be dead. And only when 1,000 kavachas are destroyed, I should die. Look that he was more intelligent than Hiranyakashipu also. So Brahmaji knows how to say tatastu. One benediction he would never give. What is that? Immortality. You cannot be immortal. So this demon, his name was Durdama, original name Durdama. He got this 1,000 kavach. Another clause he put. He said, only when someone does tapasya for 100 years, they should be able to destroy one of my kavach. And he took full care that anyone who sits for tapasya, kill them. She was causing such an uproar in all the places where people actually perform tapasya. Badrinath, Kedarnath, Vrindavan, Rishikesh. These are the places where people come to perform tapasya. And he took very good care that nobody would ever get to do tapasya more than one day. So very clear that my death is finished. I will not die. So eventually, when all the sages and devotees approached, whom will they approach? They approached Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan, he appeared along with Nar. Nar and Narayan, Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna and Arjuna are the eternal associates. Wherever Krishna goes, whichever universe, Arjuna, by the grace of Lord, he also expands in many forms. In one universe, Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. In one universe, Krishna is about to speak Bhagavad Gita. In one universe, Krishna has already finished Bhagavad Gita. In one universe, Arjuna has already said, okay, I'm going to do whatever you say. It's the same Arjuna. It is not that there are different Arjunas. It is the same Arjuna. By the grace of the Lord, he can expand into many forms. So this Arjuna is an eternal associate with Lord Narayan as Nar. So when the demigods and the devotees approached, Lord Narayan said, okay, I'll come. So they came and they appeared in the area of Badrinath and they started performing tapasya. Now when they started performing tapasya, now the rule was, unless you perform tapasya for 100 years, you can't destroy one of the kavach. But Durdama was not well versed about the power of Badrinath. There, performing tapasya for one day is equivalent to performing tapasya for 100 years. I remember when I told a story, we had some young children traveling there. One of the boys said, good, we had gone during Nirjal Ekadashi. He said, I'll do one Nirjal Ekadashi, then for 100 years I don't need to do. So he was very much happy that I'll do this. And he kept till 10 o'clock in the night. But Krishna tricked him. He became so exhausted at 10 o'clock night, he broke his Ekadashi. So now he's doing every Ekadashi Nirjal during Bhima Ekadashi. Because he was trying to play around with Krishna. So, when Durdama, Nar Narayana Rishi sat for tapasya, and what was their law? They decided, when Arjuna, Nar does tapasya, Narayana will fight and break one of the kavach. And when you break the kavach, you die also. That was another clause he had put. So Narayana, just to fulfill the benediction of Brahmaji, he would act as if he would quit his body, and Nar would revive with Sanjeevani. It doesn't need any Sanjeevani also, it's only acting. Just to fulfill the benediction given by Lord Brahma. And then, after destroying one kavach, then Narayana would sit for tapasya and Nar would fight. For long time, Durdama did not realize. When he lost his 999 kavach, he realized, I'm going to die now. So he started running away from there. He started running away and then he approached Sun God, please give me shelter. And he jumped to Lord Surya, and Nar Narayana can chase Durdama along with Sun God also. But then Sun God said, my dear Lord, in Dwapar Yuga, anyway you are appearing in the form of Krishna and Arjun. So I will keep this demon with me. When the time comes, I will just throw him when there is Dharma Lopa. So this story is a Shastric story. It is not an imaginary story. Many books, as we were discussing yesterday, hundreds of stories which are circulating everywhere. Another story is there. Arjuna, Karna so charitable that he would give anything. One day when Brahmana came, Krishna came in the form of Brahmana and he had nothing to give, but he had a golden tooth. We don't know when they started this golden tooth business. He had a golden tooth and he just took a stone and he broke his tooth and he gave it to Brahmana, Krishna. Many South Indians must have heard this story. Another time, another Brahmana came and he wanted some, you know, wood for his sacrifice. And there was a scarcity of wood. So Karna broke all the furniture in his home and he gave it to Brahmana. There is no dearth of speculation in regards to glorify one's hero. But if it is not in the Shastra, if it is not according to what Vyasdev says, it is not Vyas Darshan, it is not Vyas Drishti, then without any hesitation, one should reject it. And especially these stories, if they are not supporting, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are Shastra Pramana and there is a Loka Pramana. The Loka Pramana also supports the conclusion of the Shastra. If the stories are connected to Shastra Pramana, no problem. If they are not connected to Shastra Pramana, one should reject. It has to favor, like we read traditional stories of Krishna which are not there in the Bhagavatam. But they are very sweet, very friendly to the conclusion of Shastra. Rupa Goswami considers that to be Shastra also. Like there is a story which is not there in the Mahabharata, but this story is a very nice story. When Duryodhan and the party came to Dvaitavan, they came to Dvaitavan to tease the Pandavas, and then eventually the Gandharva captured and he gave it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj told Pandava, Bhima and Arjuna, release him. And now this is the story which is not there in the Mahabharata, but very sweet story which supports the Shastric understanding. So Arjuna and Bhima said, you know who has tied it? A Gandharva has tied it. Gandharvas are superior to human beings, therefore I cannot untie it. Like in Krishna Lila also, what was tied by Mother Yashoda, the gopas could not untie it because Madhuri, Vatsalya Rasa is higher than the fraternity, the friendliness. Only someone within Vatsalya Rasa had to release it. So Arjuna and Bhima said, we can't. The tie is Gandharva tie. We cannot untie it. So then they heard the voice from the heaven that when someone who is very chaste, when she places her foot on the head of Duryodhan because he is bound, then the rope will be released. So who will place foot on his head? Nobody will do it. But somebody has to do it because he is bound. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj called every member, because Duryodhan did not come alone. Not only came with his friends, he came along with his entourage. You know, a lot of, you know, prostitutes were there, because they are evil people. And then everybody would come and kick on Duryodhan's head. But the bind, the knot was becoming more tighter. Everybody tried, including Duryodhan's wife also, but didn't work. Who was there alone now? Draupadi. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Duryodhan, is it okay if Duryodhan, Draupadi puts her foot on your head? He had no answer. So when Draupadi placed her foot on the head of Duryodhan, then the rope immediately, automatically got released. Now the story is not there in the Shastra, but no harm, because Duryodhan got the dust of a pure devotee on his head and he got released also. So we hear so many stories which are off Shastra, but anything which is Shastric and which is supporting Shastra, that is what our Acharya says. Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya. Now the traditional Loka Praman is, any stories which are connected and favorable to Shastra has to be accepted. Unfortunately, so many stories on Karna are ashastric. It is not in the Vyasa's Mahabharata. And eventually, as we discussed, ultimately, even though Karna was killed by Krishna, but what is the benediction? Yes, for devotees, those who understand Vyasa's Mahabharata properly, they make a very clear distinction. Here is the hero, here is the villain. But even the villain, he came in contact with Krishna directly or indirectly. Uddhava in the Bhagavatam explains, my dear Vidura, what was the power of Krishna? He said on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, millions of soldiers were killed, but some other they were attracted by the beauty of Krishna. Especially when Krishna was massaging the horses of Arjuna, he got down from the chariot. The entire scene was so beautiful that all the warriors, some were trying to fight but they could not fight. Some were looking with great amazement. And Krishna's beauty was so great that Arjuna could not drink the beauty of Krishna. Why? Because he was seeing Krishna's back. Of course, Krishna's back is as beautiful as Krishna's front also. But they were seeing Krishna's face. So with Uddhava says, Tataiva Chanyam Naraloka Veera Ye Ahave Krishna Mukaravindam Netre Pibanto Nayanabhi Ramam. They are continuously drinking the nectar of Krishna's beautiful face. And in this way, they were also getting purified by the arrows of Arjuna. And where did they go? Parthastha Putram Padamapurasya. They attained highest perfection. Prabhupada writes, those who were favorably inclined to Krishna, they went back to Godhead. Those who were not favorably inclined, they attained Brahma Jyoti. In this way, Prabhupada explains whether Krishna's killing or Krishna's saving, they're absolute. There is no difference. But still, as a devotee, in living or dying, he wants to be favorably disposed to Krishna. It is no fun that you are unfavorable to Krishna and Krishna has to do service to you. One has to be favorably disposed to Krishna. And the Pandavas were completely favorable. They were always in favor to Krishna and serving Krishna. We'll continue with the story of, the story of gambling match. One of the most controversial stories. Recently, when we had a Janmashtami celebration in JJ Hospital, Gaurang Prabhu spoke on disrobing of Draupadi. And some students were asking one of our devotee, why Yudhishthira Maharaj gambled? How could he gamble? Why did he tell lie? And this devotee tried to speak, you know, it was Krishna's arrangement. He said, no, this is not convincing. We don't accept this. Now here, as we discussed Mahabharata, as Vyasadeva, he does not take anybody's side. He writes in a very neutral way. He just narrates the stories. While narrating the story, he depicts everything what happened without adding his commentary. He is just a narrator, he is a writer. He does not involve. In the Bhagavad, it is not like that. When Shukadeva Goswami narrates Krishna Leela, he gets involved in the story. Whenever the demigods make mistake, he condemns the demigod. Dhiktam, you know, hell with these demigods. You know, they did not understand Krishna's glories. He is narrating the story, but he becomes party to what happened. Like in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad, when Putana's incident comes, Shukadeva Goswami begins that one day, you know, this Khechari, she flew to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Her intention was to kill Krishna. When Shukadeva Goswami started narrating this story, suddenly he saw Parikshit Maharaj also got involved. He became scared. What's going to happen to Krishna? And if you study carefully, suddenly Shukadeva Goswami changes. He doesn't continue anymore the story. What does he do? He glorifies the holy name. He said, Krishna's holy name is so great. Now why he has to bring holy name now when he is narrating the story of Putana? Because seeing Parikshit Maharaj's concern, something will happen to Krishna. I need to go and protect Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, he felt the fatherly affection. So Shukadeva Goswami said, don't worry. He said, Krishna's holy name is sufficient to remove all these bhuta, pishachi, hobgoblins, ghosts. If you chant Hare Krishna, all the ghosts will run away. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur acquired so many temples. No, free, no rent. Because nobody would stay there. And people always want to give gift. Many people want to give gift if the cow is not giving milk, if the refrigerator is not working, nobody is staying in the home, it is haunted by the ghost. You know, many people want to do that because they don't want to take the burden, give it to the temple. That is their problem. So Saraswati Thakur said, no problem. Whatever we get, we will purify it and use in Krishna's service. The experience, wherever they went, they would get this old property and the brahmacharis would go, and in the night time, they would experience, you know, pots are being thrown, the walls are shaking, the ceilings are shaking. Then they would start blowing the conch and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But Mahabharata, Vyasadeva is not like that. He narrates the story as it is. Doesn't get involved, a neutral party. So, the gambling match is a very interesting episode. The question of why Yudhishthira Maharaj acted like that. He is the personification of dharma. We will try to understand this. That one is Krishna's will, God's will, the Lord's will. But this may not be very convincing. Therefore, the second reason is that what gambling can do. Where gambling can take one person, it's interesting to understand. And thirdly, it is the only Supreme Personality of God that is faultless. He is absolutely faultless. There is no fault in him. Therefore, in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavata, when Lakshmi appeared from the ocean, she was looking, whom should I marry? She had a garland in her hand, and all the demigods are waiting. She will come and garland me. And what did Lakshmi see? Lakshmi saw in every personality, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, she found many good qualities in them, but they had some defects. There was some lopa. But she saw Vishnu, when she saw Lord Vishnu, she couldn't find any fault in him. Therefore, the garland went to Lord Narayan. So, that means, did Yudhishthira Maharaj had some fault? Yes. While living in the material world, when you are dealing in this world, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, some actions, even though they are pure, even though they are poor, still what happens when you lit a fire, in the fire there is smoke also. But a gentleman should not see the smoke, should see the blazing fire. So if you find faults with Yudhishthira Maharaj for one silly fault, one mistake, and always talk about it. People don't talk about all the faults of Duryodhan. His cloth is dirty and some more dirt, you should talk about that. But here Yudhishthira Maharaj's cloth is completely clean. There is one small black spot and you all the time say, why? Why did he do that? Why did he do that? That is unfair. So we will study this story from different angle. How Yudhishthira Maharaj got into the act of gambling. So when Pandavas decided to perform Rajasuya sacrifice on the order of Krishna, you know, it is explained, it was Krishna's desire that the Pandava should become Samrat. Becoming Samrat means what? You have to conquer everybody else. And everybody wanted to be a Samrat. Occupying the throne of Delhi is a problem from very beginning. Jarasandh was looking, Shishupal was looking, Kamsa was looking, there are many kings, they wanted to be Samrat. But nobody could become Samrat. So Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to be Samrat, but Yudhishthira Maharaj, as his character was, he would not declare war. He would not go and conquer others. So what the Lord arranged was, he sent Narad Muni to the place of Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Yudhishthira Maharaj ruling Indraprastha, the kingdom was divided into two parts. One part was ruled by Duryodhan, another part was ruled by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narad Muni came, and Narad Muni described so many sabhas. The Sabha Parva in the Mahabharata deals with so many assembly halls. Varunas, Agni, Vayu, Indra, Brahma. He describes all these palaces. And while going, he said, you know, I was in the heavens and I met your father, Pandu Maharaj. And for him to go to the higher destination, he has requested you perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. But still, Yudhishthira Maharaj is not convinced. He called for Krishna. He said, my dear Lord, he made a very nice point. He said, Krishna, he said, usually people talk nice to you so that, you know, they don't want to be in your bad books. And if people have some selfish interest, then they will also speak nice to you. But only you can tell me what is good and what is bad for me. Therefore, my dear Lord, please tell me, is it right if I perform this sacrifice of Rajasuya? Krishna was very happy. Rajasuya means, suya means to give birth. So this Rajasuya sacrifice would give birth of Samrat. Samrat, Ekrat, one who is one king. So Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed to perform this sacrifice and his goal became very clear. In this Rajasuya sacrifice, during the Agra Puja, I want to worship Krishna. That was the goal. And all the Pandavas went to different direction, conquered all the kings, and they invited everybody for this sacrifice. Everyone came. And the family members of the Kuru, the Pandavas, were given different services. Karna was charitable, therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj gave him the service of giving charity. And this was decided by Krishna. He said, ask Duryodhan to collect all the gifts. Why Duryodhan was selected? So Krishna wanted him to become more envious. By seeing all the gifts coming to the Pandavas, Duryodhan could not sleep. His stomach was burning with envy. So many gifts are coming. And Mahabharata explains, some devotees can do research, all the different countries from where the Pandavas are receiving gifts. Different kinds of gifts. And that was the duty of Duryodhan. He had to only collect. His hands were paining by collecting the gifts. And his heart was paining. His stomach was paining because of envy. And then eventually, Krishna chose. What was his service? Krishna's service was, he would invite all the guests, the special guests, the sages, and he would wash their feet. He took the most menial service. And Madhvacharya explains also, not only he chose the service of washing the feet of the sages, after feeding them prasad, his own maha, they would only eat Krishna prasad, then he would take out all the plates. Krishna chose that service, the most menial service. And the sacrifice took place. Eventually it was a time to worship someone as the most important personality. And all the kings were thinking, especially those kings who were supporting Duryodhan and Shishupal and others, he said, when they discuss about whom to worship, that will spoil the sacrifice. Because if you choose Bhishma, Dhritarashtra will be angry. If you choose Dhritarashtra, Bhishma will be angry. If you choose Bhishma, Dronacharya will be angry. If you choose Vishwamitra, Vasishtha will be angry. So choose anybody, there will be controversy. So therefore, in conclusion, what will happen? If they choose somebody, there will be dissatisfaction, and in this way the sacrifice will be failed. But what happened was, when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhishma Dev, you choose whom we should worship. Bhishma Dev said, I know whom you want to worship. And we all know whom we should worship. And he said, we select Krishna as that personality whom all the worship should be offered. And when they took his name, it is said that everybody started clapping. Except Shishupal, Shakuni, Karna, Duryodhan, but they could not speak because the clapping was so powerful. They said, if we do something, if we say something, then we lose our life. But Shishupal was thinking, oh, they made such a big blunder. They have chosen this Gwala, this coward boy who has no caste. Nobody knows where he was born. No, nobody knows who are his parents. He lives in Dwarka, which is abandoned. No Vedic people stay there. Basically, he was indirectly praising Krishna, one who has no father and mother, who is beyond Varnashram. He's transcendental. You know, he doesn't stay in where other people stay. Dwarka means it's spiritual world only. He's one indirectly praising. So, he said, once the yajna is done, when they worship Krishna, then I will prove how their selection is wrong. Then it will be really spoiled. He was thinking like that. And Krishna was worshipped and he got up. And then he started speaking, you know, wild language. And then there was a lot of discussion, not discussion. You know, Bhima said, I think I will remove your tongue only. Your tongue has a lot of holes, it should be removed. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I think there is a problem with air. There is a pitta prakriti, the vayu, the vata prakriti has gone. And why don't you take some rest? And Bhishma Dev spoke to him about 10 incarnations of the Lord. But Shishupal said, what are you talking? You know, just because he did something, you know, he lifted some earth mound, you'd call it Govardhan Parvat. He tamed some, you know, black snake and you call it as a Kaliya snake. He said, no big deal. And eventually Shishupal lost his head. And Narad Muni told Yudhishthira Maharaj that Yudhishthir, this signifies there is inauspiciousness in the heaven, inauspicious in the Patala, inauspiciousness in the earthly planet. And he said, and he went away. Of course, yajna was done properly, Krishna was worshipped. Yudhishthira Maharaj felt, you know, this was not very good. You know, Shishupal was killed. He was in anxiety. Meanwhile, all the guests started moving out after the sacrifice was done. You know, Krishna, when he was living, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, how can my mouth say that, my dear Lord, now you can go? How can I do that? And Prabhupada writes there that on the order of Yudhishthira, Krishna was forced to stay extra. He stayed few extra days, but ultimately he had to go. Everybody left except two people. Duryodhan and Shakuni stayed back. Why they stayed back? Because they were fascinated by the palace which was built by Mayadhana for them. Very fascinating. And secondly, Duryodhan, seeing the opulence of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was burning. And then the incident happened that when he was staying there, Vyasadeva came. When Vyasadeva came to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Vyasadeva, Narad Muni had told me that there will be great disaster. How long this disaster will last? Vyasadeva said, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, this disaster will last for 13 years. He said, 13 years? He said, yes, it will last for 13 years. And this disaster at the end of 13 years will destroy the entire Kshatriyas from the surface of the earth. And this disaster, or the Kala personified, Kala will use you as an instrument. You will become an instrument for the destruction of the entire army, entire Kshatriyas on the surface of the earth. When Yudhishthira Maharaj heard this, now very interesting, who is Yudhishthir? Yudhishthir is personification of Kala, Dharmaraj, is Yama Amsha. So what Vyasadeva was saying is, since Krishna has come to this world to establish Dharma, he needs some assistance. He needs some representation. To destroy, what does he need? He needs Kala. What does he need? Yama. And because you are Yama Amsha, just become Krishna's instrument to wipe out the entire Kshatriya race, which is irreligious and demoniac. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj heard this from Vyasadeva left from there, Yudhishthira Maharaj became very despondent. He said, I'll be responsible. I'll be the cause of the destruction of people. He came and told Arjuna, I'm quitting my body. I will give up my life. I will commit suicide. Arjuna said, what kind of moha has come to you? He said, how can you say that you'll quit your body? It is unfair for a Kshatriya to talk about dying like that. You are very responsible king. Don't ever speak like that. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, without asking anyone, Krishna was not there. He couldn't take this. I'll be responsible. Yudhishthira Maharaj was so, practitioner of non-violence. He could not kill a fly also. When he heard that I'll be responsible, without asking anybody, he took a vow. He actually brought the water. He got a tarpan. And he declared in the assembly, he said, I take a vow that whatever my superiors tell me to do, I will do it. That was gambling. He said, whatever my superiors tell me to do, I will do that. When Yudhishthira Maharaj took that vow, Bhima and Arjuna said, why did you do this? You should not take such vows. But it was too late. He already did tarpan and he took that vow. Shakuni and Duryodhan were living then in that place. And then the incident of falling in that lake happened, crashing to the wall happened, and Draupadi's laughter was continuously heard in the eardrums of Duryodhan. And then the blowing of different conch of receiving hundreds of guests was ringing in his ears. When he was walking back to Hastinapur, he told Shakuni, Shakuni, I don't think I can survive. He said, after seeing all the wealth of Yudhishthira Maharaj, how is that I'm still living? You know, it is just like how Radharani talked to Krishna, in your separation, how is that I'm still living? I should have been dead in your separation. So, this is a perversion. He said, Yudhishthira Maharaj is prosperous, is flourishing so much, and how is that the Duryodhana is still living? That means his heart is actually made of stone only. He is still living. And then, when he went back to Hastinapur, while going, Shakuni said, don't worry. He said, you are worried about getting all that wealth? He said, I will do it without even one drop of blood. He said, how is it possible? He said, by throw of dice. He said, I'm expert in gambling and I know Yudhishthira Maharaj likes to gamble. This was one defect for a king. Manu Samhita explains that one who rules, he should be careful of cruelty, he should be careful of wine, he should be careful of illicit sex, and he should be careful of gambling. Because wherever there is power, The power is used for exploiting, killing animals, sense gratification, throwing money in gambling. You know, people lose. One time Maharaj told me, Radhanath Maharaj, he said he knew one person. He came from India to America. He went to Las Vegas. And within 20 minutes, he lost about 20 lakh rupees. And he had no money to come back from that casino back to his room. Gambling is like that. Another devotee was telling, this happened in Bangalore. He went to gamble. And somebody came to call him and said, look, your daughter is sick. You know, she has to be hospitalized. He said, I'm coming in 1 minute. And he stayed whole night. Therefore, Chanakya says, just see the gambler's absorption. They can spend ages and not realize. They will not realize anything. Gambling has the power of absorbing you and you forget all the realities. And when he came back home, his daughter was already dead. So he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj likes gambling, but he does not know how to play it. Another interesting point. He had some liking for gambling, but because he was raised in a cultural background, he never got to learn it. He never became expert in that. Shakuni shows his background is bad because he was expert. When you are expert in bad thing, that means that is your background. You become expert. He said, if I throw pasa, so it is guaranteed that I will win. Just convince your father. Once your father is convinced, and be careful of Vidur. It is guaranteed that we will conquer. So Duryodhan came back along with Shakuni. When he came back, he was very despondent. And Shakuni went and told Dhritarashtra, do you see your son? There is a problem for him. You know, there is a health problem. He might do something. Go and talk to him. And Dhritarashtra was wicked and weak both. And he was extremely attached to Duryodhan. When Duryodhan came to him, he couldn't see. But because he was given a commentary by Shakuni, he said, my dear son, why are you so despondent? He can't see, but you can feel. And what did Dhritarashtra say? Dhritarashtra said, I have provided you unlimited women to enjoy. This is the verse in the Mahabharata. A father is telling his own son. He said, I have given unlimited enjoyment in the form of women. You have got best of the beds. And we have created so many places for outing. When you have these three things, why you should suffer? That is the level of their lifestyle. And here, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he received the benediction from Yaksha, this was after the gambling match, and he actually answered all the questions of Yaksha, and Yaksha asked, okay, you revive anybody you want. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked for Nakul. Yaksha said, why Nakul? What will you do with Nakul? Why not Bhima? Why not Arjun? They can help you. He said, don't tempt me, O Yaksha, because I am the son of Kunti and it is according to Dharma I need to revive the son of Madri because I had promised her, my mother promised that we will act equally. We will not create any discrimination. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, if I protect Dharma, Dharmo Rakshiti Rakshita. This verse was spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj. If I protect Dharma, Dharma will protect me. And Yaksha became very happy with him. He said, okay, I give you all of your brothers. And he said, I'm your father. And he asked Yudhishthira, what benediction do you want? Ask me any benediction. And what did Yudhishthira ask? Yudhishthira said, you please pray for me that I will not be affected by Kama, Krodha and Lobha. And Yamara Dharmaraj said, you are a personification of these qualities. You will never be affected by this. But still, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but still, you please bless me that I will not be affected by this. This is the difference between the culture. The attraction was there, but he never learned it. And Shakuni had the attraction, he learned it, and he wanted to use it against Yudhishthira Maharaj. So here Dhritarashtra, being very much attached to Duryodhan, he said, what's your problem? I can do anything for you. I've got so much. What Duryodhan told his father, he said, my dear father, one who is content with wealth, he said, he can never be happy. He said, one who is content with wealth, he can never prosper. He can't expand. He can't grow. He said, my problem is I am not satisfied. And because I am not satisfied, I want to grow. In the modern economics. Modern economics says that if you are happy and satisfied, you can't make more money. You always remain in anxiety. If you are in anxiety all the time, then you can make more bucks. So this, you have everything in Mahabharata. You know, the policy of the psychology of how to make more money. But what happens with that money, that he will not talk. He will only talk about how to make money. So then Dhritarashtra was pacifying him. Okay, what happened? What did you see there? And Duryodhan, can you imagine his memory? He speaks everything what Yudhishthira Maharaj got as a gift. Everything he got from this kingdom, you know, he names all the kings and their kingdom. And he said, more than that, my dear father, he said, every day lakhs of sadhus would come, and they had a system. Draupadi was taking care of feeding everybody. She was a graha minister. When lakhs sadhus would take prasad, they would blow this conch to indicate that 1 lakh people have been fed. And this conch was blowing continuously, my ear was going deaf. No, I was not able to hear it. Continuously was going on. I couldn't handle it. Envy, envy, envy. So Dhritarashtra, what will you do? He was not a philosopher. He couldn't give a philosophy. He could only cry. You know, what can be done? Shakuni said, something can be done. What is that? He said, you build this beautiful hall and then you invite the Pandavas for a gambling match. He said, gambling match? For what? He said, you call them for friendly gambling match. And when we call them for gambling match, I got a powerful dice. With my throw of dice, I will certainly conquer them. He said, no, no, let me ask Vidur. He said, I will ask Vidur. And Duryodhan said, asking Vidur means that will never happen. I will go and die myself. It is better to die, commit suicide. So this is how a father, he pampered his son. He would always blackmail his father. And he was happy to be blackmailed. The problem was Duryodhan was bad. And Duryodhan knew that my father is more worse than me. He knew, and therefore he would blackmail him. So in this way, eventually Dhritarashtra agreed. He asked superficially Vidur. And Vidur said, what are you planning to do? When you invite for gambling match, that is the beginning of the destruction of the entire Kuru dynasty. He said, don't do it. But he said, no, no, we are there. We are all superior elders are there. Let them do gambling, friendly gambling match. You know, if something goes out of hand, we are there to control. Vidura knew that Dhritarashtra has lost it. He had to go to Yudhishthira Maharaj to invite for the gambling match. Vidura was given that service. And meanwhile, they build this assembly hall. Sabaparva. Sabaparva is filled with assembly hall. And this is the last assembly hall. This hall was built in such a way, you know, if you give that description, the new casino will come. Because that was the original gambling match in a very international scale. And lot of kings were invited for this gambling match. So when he came and told Yudhishthira Maharaj, this is what you are invited for, Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed to come. Why? Because he had taken the vow that whoever my elders call me, for whatever reason, I will come. Therefore, Shastra, this is again Krishna speaks in the Mahabharata only. One should follow flexible laws. He said, if the laws or if the principles are going to harm the society, one should not give any damn importance to that. He said the principle of dharma are flowing like a river water. You can't pin down them to the wall. Oh, this is what I'm going to do because I promised. If your promise is going to cause harm to millions of people, what is the use of that promise? So here Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, he made that mistake by the will of God. But for us to learn the lesson that how one should follow the laws of God. Not just take vows. If the vows are not beneficial to us, then one should be flexible. So he agreed to come. He agreed to come to the gambling match. Yudhishthira Maharaj also said, I know gambling will cause destruction, but since I am the instrument in the hands of destiny, I have to consent to the call of destiny. So he is playing the role of Yamaraj. And then he came for the gambling match. And Shakuni said, I'm going to gamble on behalf of Duryodhan. Yudhishthira, what kind of game is this? You are not party to this family. How can you do this? But Shakuni said, okay, if you don't want to play, you can go. No. My superiors have called, I will do it. So Shakuni will throw the dice and Yudhishthira Maharaj will ask for number. Every time Shakuni would throw the dice, it is explained there were two innings. The first was all things. Wealth, jewelry, the diamond, gold, kingdom. And second innings was all people. The horses, the elephants, human beings, the Pandavas. In this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj kept on losing. One devotee said that when Shakuni would throw the dice, Yudhishthira Maharaj could only ask one or two. And the dice was thrown was 3 and 4. Why he couldn't ask for 3 and 4? 1 and 2 represent Satya and Treta Yuga. And 3 and 4 represent Kali and Dwapar Yuga. So when Kali and Dwapar become powerful, naturally Treta and Satya Yuga cannot sustain. The principle of Dharma gets vanquished by the principle of hypocrisy and quarrel. Dwapara is represented by Shakuni, Mahabharata explains, and Kali is represented by Duryodhan. And without Krishna, if Kali and Dwapara are without Krishna, then Satya and Trita without Krishna will not survive. Only when Krishna comes, then Kali Yuga can overtake. So he kept on losing. Eventually lost everything. He lost Nakul, Sahadev, Bhima and Arjun. Then he lost himself also. Then Shakuni made him the proposal. Why not place your wife in the stake? Now just see, Yudhishthira Maharaj is the pure devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada writes about Nal Maharaj. He said, we have nothing to do with Nal Maharaj since he is not a pure devotee. How Krishna teaches us the lesson. When Nal was playing gambling with his brother, he also asked him for a gambling match, and Nal Maharaj lost everything. And his brother said, why don't you put your wife into stake? He just got up, became very angry, left with his wife. He would not put his wife into stake. His brain worked. But when Shakuni told Yudhishthira Maharaj, you place your wife into the gambling match, when he said that, this is very strange, but it is a reality. Mahabharata explains, in 7 verses, Yudhishthira Maharaj speaks about the beauty of Draupadi in a public assembly. To all the Asat Sabha, headed by Duryodhan and Shakuni, Dushyasan, Karna and all his army people, they are sitting there. And of course, while the gambling was going in the middle, Vidur got up and he started screaming at them. He said, this Duryodhan is like a crow and Pandavas are like a Hamsa. He said, hey Dhritarashtra, he said, reject the crow and purchase the Hamsa. Purchase the peacock, you will survive. I tell you, I told you in the beginning of the birth of Duryodhan that this boy is born to destroy entire Kaurava dynasty. I should not be speaking this, nobody will like it, but I have to speak it. He said, bind us Duryodhan, even there is a time now, Vidura told, while the gambling match was going on. He said, bind Duryodhan and give it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. In this way, the entire Kuru race will be survived. But what did Dhritarashtra say? He said, I can give up anything except Duryodhan. He said, I cannot give up Duryodhan. So Vidura said, what can be done? And the gambling continued. And when they ask for Draupadi, this shows how powerful gambling is. If a pure devotee of the Lord, a learning lesson from us, for us, Krishna's arrangement, but still, it is not that just because we are devotee, we can assume we can go anywhere, we can go wherever we want. Since we are devotee of Krishna, Krishna will protect us. No, Krishna is not a security guard. He is not a bodyguard. No, he has given us the independence. He has given us the intelligence. He has given us what to do and what not to do. The process of bhakti is not abrupt. The process of bhakti is very organized. It's a very discipline. You don't become devotee abruptly. There has to be some background. There has to be some connection. First you hear, adau shraddha, tata sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. Similarly, you don't become demon abruptly. One does not become demon abruptly, but rather one practices the process of becoming demon. Avoid the sadhu sangha. Don't hear. And in this way, instead of anartha nivritti, go to the Facebook. And then naturally, you know, your anarthas don't go away. Anarthas keep on increasing. And then what happens? Nishta. One becomes doubtful. And then ruchi. There is no ruchi only. This is gradual progression. So here, involved in gambling match, who? Yudhishthira Maharaj, who would never think of doing any wrong act. He would never lie. And what is gambling? Gambling is being breaking the principle of truthfulness. Prabhupada writes. And he was continuously gambling, losing everything. When they told, Shakuni told, okay, gamble your wife. He could have stopped it. Bhima was burning with anger, but he couldn't do anything. And then he glorifies. It's a very strange part in the Mahabharata, in 7 verses. Every limb of Draupadi was spoken loudly by Yudhishthira Maharaj, as if, you know, he was selling her. You know, her nose is more valuable than this jewel. Her face. Just see the intoxication of gambling. He said that in the public assembly and placed Draupadi. And what happened? Certainly, he lost. And before losing Draupadi, this old man, blind man, sitting next to Sanjay would ask, what happened? What is the next step? Did my son win? Did my son win? So there is no question of showing any sympathy to Dhritarashtra. In the Mahabharata they showed, you know, they showed him so always lamenting, tears in his eyes, always in anxiety. You feel sympathy with that character when he acted like that. But original Mahabharata, when you study actually, when you carefully study, there is no sympathy for Dhritarashtra. He deserved all what happened after the battle was over. And he was very happy that Draupadi was conquered by the Duryodhan and party. So in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj lost it all. And then after losing, Karna gave the order, bring her down. And then he said, you know, remove all of their clothes because they don't deserve it. The Pandavas removed their clothes. And meanwhile, Bhima was so angry. And he told Nakul or Sahadev, he said, hey, Nakul or Sahadev, go and get some burning log. I want to burn his hands of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Arjuna said, don't do this. Don't ever speak like this. This is what the Kurus are looking for, conflict amongst ourselves. If they see that we are fighting, they will be very happy. He said, don't speak. And Bhima was pacified. Arjuna was there, always gentle. And then they brought Draupadi. Draupadi was in her period. And in those times, a queen would never show her face to anybody. It is not that, you know, everybody can see her face. She is such a powerful woman. Her face can only be seen by some powerful and prominent people. And she was dragged by Dushasan, grabbing her hair, grabbing her sari. And then they said, remove her clothes. You know, she doesn't deserve it. And then Draupadi raised that question. Who was first to lose? Did my husband lose first? And then he staked me? Or he stake me first and then he lose himself. She asked this question to everybody. But who will answer this question? Nobody was able to answer. Including Bhishma Dev could not answer this question. He only said, Madhya Draupadi, what can I answer in this assembly? I have no words to answer, but I can only say, even in this condition, you want to practice dharma, that dharma will protect you. And none of the Pandavas could protect. And eventually she called for Krishna. You know, she called so loudly, and Krishna came desperately in the form of her clothes. And then Dushyasana tried very hard to remove, but he was ultimately exhausted and he couldn't continue. It is not that the ordeal of Draupadi was over. Usually feel that, you know, he tried to disrobe her and then this was over. No. She still had to be in the assembly hall raising this question, and Gandhari tried to stop Dhritarashtra. Eventually Dhritarashtra felt something wrong will happen. He said, Draupadi, you ask any benediction, I will give you. What benediction do you want? And Draupadi said, I want the kingdom of my husband back. And I want all their wealth to be back to them. She asked for these two benedictions. And the acharyas raised this question, how can a pure devotee ask benediction from a demon like Dhritarashtra? They don't even go to the demigods. They don't approach demigod also. Then why did Draupadi ask from Dhritarashtra? So they answer the question, it is not what she was asking, begging or charity from Dhritarashtra. She was only asking what belonged to her and her husbands. It was their rightful claim. It was not asking charity, rather asking justice. So Dhritarashtra said, granted, take it, and you go away. And they got the wealth. By the grace of Draupadi, they were saved. They went back to Indraprastha, and then again Duryodhan, he came to his father and did the same old tape. If you don't do anything about this, you will lose me. You call them again for gambling match. I cannot stay. I can't stand the prosperity of Yudhishthir. I cannot see him living peacefully, happily. Father, you have to do something about this. So Dhritarashtra's benediction did not last long. What he did? He called them back. Now, when he was called back, how many people told Yudhishthira Maharaj? He said, why are you going again? You already experienced losing everything to the Kurus. Why you want to go back again? Don't go. Bhima told, Arjuna told, Vidura told, even some Daumya told him, do not go. What did Yudhishthira Maharaj said? I can't stop. I am helpless. He said, I am the instrument in the hand of destiny, and Shakuni is my instrument. Very interesting. Again, because Yudhishthira Maharaj, we have to see from different perspective. As we discussed, Yudhishthira Maharaj is Yamaraj. He is the Amsha of Yamaraj, and he was simply acting as an instrument in the hands of Krishna. He keeps talking, it is the destiny. If you want to see the divinity in this, you see Yamaraj, Yudhishthira Maharaj is Yamaraj. And if you want to see the human aspect in this, see the power of gambling. The power of gambling is that the gambler, he loses everything, but he takes loan and gambles. You know, he takes loan on loan and he gambles. He loses everything, but it's such a powerful act. Our Radha Gopinath Prabhu, I remember, first time he gave one lecture, he said, he was talking about his school. He said, a gambler, one who wins first time, he loses for his life. If you win in gambling match once, then you lose for your life. It's a very powerful play which actually destroys everything. And nowadays we see, in every aspect, those who are involved in sports is no more a game where you enjoy for playing. Every ball you ball, every kick you do, and every, you know, service you do, everything is what? It's a gambling. What to speak of that? Somebody was telling a story in one hospital in America. The nurses were gambling about how long this patient will survive. And eventually one nurse, she realized that I'm going to lose. She had said that, you know, he's going to die early. And other nurse said he's going to live longer. So what she did was, she pulled a wire so that he should die according to her time. Of course, she was caught for doing this. Why? Because they were using this as a gambling time. Just imagine, therefore Prabhupada said, gambling means what? Risking your life. Gambling means, when we say, I can practice devotional service afterwards, that is gambling. Because you don't know how long will you stay. You are gambling a time factor. You are saying that I will do afterwards. That is big gambling. Where is the guarantee that you will survive the next moment also? Why gamble? Just do it. Devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, even after being told by everybody, Yudhishthira Maharaj, both ways, acting as the instrument of the Lord and acting as the instrument of gambling, the power of gambling was so great, he kept walking to that same place. He was stopped, but he would not listen. He came there. When he came, Shakuni said, we will only decide with one throw. What is that throw? In one throw, if you win, Yudhishthir, then the Kuru, the Kauravas will go to the forest for 12 years and 1 year exile. That was a big stake. Why the Kurus would take that kind of risk? Because they knew they would not lose. Why? Because Dushyasan had acquired this special vidya in throwing dice. Whatever the opposite party would say, the opposite would come. If you would say 4, it will come only 2. If you say 1, it will come 2. There is no chance of he winning. So Yudhishthira Maharaj never got to throw the dice. Every time, because when you throw the dice, if you lose, then other party get to throw the dice. But Shukarni never lost it, and Yudhishthira Maharaj never won it. Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed. Just imagine, for one dice throw, what will happen? 12 years of vanvas and 1 year of exile. And if you are caught within that 1 year of exile, what will happen? Again 12 years. He said, if you can come back after 12 years of vanvas and 1 year incognito, I'll give back your kingdom. This is what Duryodhan told. Yudhishthira Maharaj agreed. The dice was cast. And sure enough, what happened? That Shakuni won the game. And the Pandavas had to go to the forest. And when they were going to the forest itself, the way they went out from Hastinapur, that is also very beautifully described, how they are walking. Yudhishthira Maharaj and Nakul, Arjun, Bhima. Bhima was looking at his shoulders. He said, and then Arjuna was throwing sand. And Dhaumya Rishi was looking at this southern direction and he was invoking the mantras which are meant for Yamaraj. Nakul, Sahadev covered their face. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he covered his face. So then Dhritarashtra asked, how did they go? He said, they were going like this. What does it mean? Why did Dhaumya chant those mantras? He was chanting those mantras, invoking Yamaraj, because the destruction is going to come. The destruction of Kuru dynasty is guaranteed. Therefore, he was chanting mantras, invoking Yamaraj, looking at Dakshin Disha means what? All of you are going there. Arjuna was throwing sand. Why was he throwing sand? Because he was indicating, when the 12th year is over, 1 year is over, then from my hand, the arrows will be released. And Bhima was looking at his shoulder, hoping to crush everybody. And there is another famous story. Again, it is not in the Shastra at all. No Puranas, no Itihasas, nowhere you will find this story. But this story is there. People talk about this story many times, just to prove that this story, no, the story is not there in the Shastra. What is the story? The story of Shakuni was taking revenge against the Kurus. Now the story is not there in the Shastra, but a good story. The story is, when the Kurus, the Kauravas had gone to their uncle's place, mama's place, or their grandparents' place. They are from Gandhar Desh. And Gandhar Naresh was Subala. Gandhari was the daughter of Subal Naresh. So some or other, when they had gone there, and the 99 brothers of Shakuni were so powerful along with Shakuni, and Duryodhan felt threatened. The tendency of Duryodhan was to feel threatened all the time. If it is not only Pandavas, anyone who is close to him, if they are acting little superior, little better than him, he would feel threatened. You know, problem, a psychiatric problem. So then what happened was, he somehow arranged to, you know, place all the brothers of Shakuni in a cave, an underground room, and they were all closed. And the story is not there, again I am repeating. It is not there, but it is a very famous story. Everybody talks about this story. If you have not heard, please hear. And if you hear, know that it is not there in the Shastra. You can tell this story is not there in any of the Mahabharata. So they placed all the brothers in that underground tunnel. And when there is no air, when there is no food, what happens? In exhaustion, in suffocation, you start dying. So all the brothers decided, we have to take revenge against Duryodhan. But how will he take? We are stuck here. We can't be freed from here. They said, whoever is most intelligent amongst us, you know, if he can survive, then he will take the revenge. Who is most intelligent amongst us? So let us have a test. What is the test? One of the brothers decided, you know, just decided. How they decided, that is not explained because of the story. They decided that they always carried the dice because they were interested playing dice from their childhood. And this dice was a flat square dice and it had only two sides, not four sides. No, six sides, right? Dice has six sides. It had only two sides, straight like this, and it has six numbers, six from this side and six from that side. And it was, you know, through and through. So they said, anyone who puts a thread in all those six holes by threading it only once. Once you put like this, when you remove from here, the thread has to come from all the six holes. Now how can you do it? Everybody tried. Because once you put the thread inside the hole, it has to come from one hole only. It can't come from all the six holes. So that was the match. And none of the brother could do it. Shakuni said, I can do it. So what he did was, I don't know how they got jaggery from there. He took the thread and he put jaggery to the thread all over. And he covered every hole with jaggery. And he placed the thread close to the close to the dais, and they waited for the next morning. What happened when the jaggery, especially underground, all the ants come. The ants came, and then wherever there is jaggery, the ants will go. So they placed the thread, and the ants, they went through all the six threads. When they got up in the morning, what did they see? The thread was woven in all the six holes. They said, you should survive. Nice, fascinating story. And he survived. And after surviving, all of them were dead. Shakuni collected their bones. Meanwhile, they wanted to come and see. They opened the door. And what did they see? Everybody is dead except Shakuni. So they begged forgiveness. Okay, no, you come up. And he came up. And when he came up, he made the dais made from the bones of his brother, and he made that dais into, he chanted some Vyabhichari mantra. He learned from somebody. So what happened with that dais? Whatever you would desire, the dais would act according to his desire. This is the story. But of course, as I said, this is not there in the Mahabharata, but this story I have heard in my childhood also. Of course, I had not heard the thread one. But this is nowhere, no Shastra, it is not there in the Mahabharata, certainly not in Ramayana. Bhagavad doesn't deal with such stories only. No, Bhagavad deals with the story of Balramji gambling with Rukmi. And Balramji, because of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, there was no Shakuni, but people like Shakuni only. But when they started tricking him, what he did, he didn't go to Vanvas. He just hit on his head and he killed him. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, we see here, very interesting, that he lost everything because of this gambling match. And what do we learn from the stories? That the power of gambling is so great. And then how many years they had to stay in Vanvas? 12 plus 1 year. But still, that is the only black spot in his life, if you see it from a human aspect. But if you see from a divine aspect, it was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you have the choice. When the student in the college, he blamed, why did Yudhishthira Maharaj do like that? How can he gamble? Now if you have the choice to choose between Yudhishthir and Duryodhan, whom will you choose? Whom will you choose? Why blame Yudhishthira Maharaj? Yes, he made a mistake. We accept. But if you have the choice between accepting Duryodhan or Yudhishthira Maharaj, one has to accept Yudhishthir. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj, just see the disposition when he left Hastinapur. Of course, Draupadi, you know, when she was met with Krishna in the forest, she was crying. She said, Krishna, why you did not protect me? Why you did not come at the right time? It's your responsibility, it's your duty. You can imagine what she must have gone through. You should have protected me. And Krishna, in very kind words, he said, if I knew, does God doesn't know? But here Krishna is performing his pastime, being very responsible to what she was going through. He said, if I knew this, what they are doing, I would have come there without invitation. They invited everybody for a gambling match. Everybody came there except the Yadavas. The Yadavas did not come. Krishna did not come. He said, I didn't know because I was fighting Salva. If I knew, I would have come without invitation. And if they had not stopped this gambling match, I would have destroyed the entire Kuru army. But what can be done now? The time has gone. You know, the water has flown over the bridge. The time is gone. But I promise you, Draupadi, in the future battle when it will take place, that the entire Kuru race will be destroyed. Again, using as Draupadi, using as Yudhishthira Maharaj, what Krishna was doing, he was doing for what he came for. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashacha Dushkritam Dharma Samstapanarthaya. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj is one lamentation. No, if you do with this, what was his lamentation? His lamentation was, there were 60,000 students studying under me, and I was providing. That was the only purpose of my kingdom. What was the purpose of my kingdom? The purpose of my kingdom was, I was providing 60,000 students for their dinner, their lunch, and their education. Now I can't do anything about it. I have nothing to offer them. And he told his brothers, it is so wonderful that we have left the Hastinapur. If we are staying in Hastinapur, we would never get to come to these holy places. He did not consider his Vanvas to be banishment. Rather, he considered Vanvas to be a facility for associating with sadhus. And because of that disposition, what happened? Because of that disposition, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, he went to so many holy places. So from Sabha Parva, when you come to Vana Parva is nothing but description of all the tirthas on the surface of Mother Earth. So many tirthas and plus so many sages Yudhishthira Maharaj met. And of course, they went through so many troubles in their life. But their conviction, as Narad Muni explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, at no point of time they ever doubted the supremacy of Krishna, the power of Krishna, their loyalty to Krishna, their devotion to Krishna. They never questioned it. They continue to, you know, remain loyal devotees to Krishna. And Krishna, once in a while, he would come there and he would talk to them. And then eventually, when the time came for them to remain incognito, they had to remain incognito for 1 year. And then we see, yes, sometime we may become angry with Yudhishthira Maharaj for not being very, you know, Kshatriya tendencies. But twice, when both Arjun and Bhima, once Bhima was caught by a big snake, the snake's name was Nahusha. He was a Nahusha. He was from their family only, the ancestors of the Pandavas. And he was cursed. He was cursed by Gautama Rishi, Agastya Rishi. Why Agastya cursed him? Because Nahusha had become Indra for some time by his pious activities. When Indra had done some mistake, when Indra had offended his guru, that time Nahusha had become Indra. When Nahusha became Indra, he became so arrogant. He said, I want Sachi as my wife. They said, no, that is not a post. You get the chair, but not the wife. She still remains the wife of Indra. But the intoxication of being Indra became so strong. He said, no, I want her. And he wanted to forcefully take her. And she came running to the Sapta Rishis. And they told, he's so intoxicated, and he's so mad with wealth and power. You know, you agree that you'll accept his proposal on one condition. What is that? The Sapta Rishis should carry him on the palanquin. Because he's a king, he's Indra. And if you want me, you should come carried by Sapta Rishis on the palanquin. When Sachi told him, and Nahusha went to heavens by what? Because of his charitable activity only, because of this dharma only. When she told this to Nahusha, Nahusha said, no problem, I will do it. Just see, again the intoxication. And all the sages were carrying Nahusha on the palanquin. Now Rajbhog, Nahusha eats Rajbhog. And sages are always eating roots and fruits. So they were carrying and they were going very slow. And because they were going very slow and he was desperate to meet Sachi, he said, Sarpa, Sarpa. Sarpa, Sarpa means fast, fast. And in the palanquin, while sitting in the palanquin, he kicked Agastya Rishi on his back. One may say, how can somebody do it? But he did. He did it and he kicked Agastya Rishi. Agastya Rishi said, you don't deserve to remain Nahusha. You become a snake, you become a big python. And only when your, you know, future descendant, he comes and answers your questions, then you can be protected. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, when Bhima almost lost his life, Nahusha asked hundreds of questions. And one of the questions which asked by Nahusha was, who is Brahmana? How do you, you know, decide who is a Brahmana? The caste consciousness. Actually, I wanted to cover Ekalavya's story also. Another very controversial story, as bad as Karna, but even though he is a hero. People have self-study group called Ekalavya Swadhyaya, you know, 8 Kalavya tutorials. They praise Ekalavya so much, one-pointed, attentive person. And in India, Ekalavya denotes, Ekalavya means one who was rejected because of his low background. This story is very prevalent about Ekalavya. Many, you know, Dalit organization, they consider Ekalavya was, you know, exploited by the Brahmanas. But again, if you read carefully Ekalavya's story also, the purpose of his education was not to establish dharma. The purpose of his education was simply to protect some wild dogs. He was the son of Hiranyadhanu. And who was Hiranyadhanu? Hiranyadhanu was, if you study carefully from the Bhagavatam, when Vena was killed by the Brahmanas chanted the mantras. And through the mantra, the Omkara became Humkar. When Omkar is chanted with a raised pitch, Omkar is meant for creation and Humkar is meant for destruction. So they killed Vena. And when Vena's body was churned, first came Bahuka. And then Bahuka, he asked, what should I do? He said, Nishada. Nishada means sit down. So then he was sent to the forest. So Ekalavya came from that family. And what is that family? According to Bhagavad, they are sinful people. So he became archer. Becoming a great archer, not a big deal. But what do you do with that? Therefore, in the Vedic system, education was not given to anybody and everybody. Shastras were not given to anybody and everybody. Nowadays we see, you know, when people read Shastras, as I was mentioning yesterday, there is one man who is becoming very famous, writing books on Shastra. And what does he do? He takes the scriptural story and tries to bring mundane concept. Tries to bring such a mundane concept. Now, devotees are taught to see Krishna in matter. But he is seeing matter in Krishna. This man. You know, he is a doctor. And he is writing books. You know, it's an atheism only. Therefore, Prabhupada explained, quoting Sanatana Goswami, when you hear the Vaishnava literature or any Shastra from someone who has not heard from devotee, when he speculates, what does it do? It creates a poisonous effect. It creates a poisonous effect. Because he has the power to speculate, he is not within the boundary of traditional wisdom. You can speculate anything and everything. Krishna is the manager and Kaliya was a man working in the company. This is how one explanation is given. Working in the company and not willing to accept the change. And Krishna is the accept manager. He said you have to accept the change. Because when you don't accept change in the company, when the change comes, when you don't accept, what happens? You become poisonous. No, you get affected and others get affected. And you have to move out of that place. And Mathura is like a company. Just imagine. And Mathura is getting affected. And Krishna is a wise manager. He came. What he did? He didn't kill him. He didn't destroy him. He simply removed him from that post. And then again the prosperity of Mathura company increased. You know, just imagine. So therefore, in the Vedic system, you can't handle books just because you know how to read and write. If you know how to read and write, read first standard books, textbooks. Your intelligence is not beyond that. But when you read Shastra and comment Shastras on such a... Can you imagine Krishna Lila making into a mundane concept? Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches how to see Krishna in matter. So therefore, Ekalavya also was the same thing. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, we are just going everywhere, but Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no. When Nahusha asked him all the questions, because Bhima was grabbed by Nahusha, sometime Bhima's trouble was he was too adventurous. And because of being too adventurous, twice he almost lost his life. One with Yaksha Prashna and one during the story of Nahusha. And who saved him? Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Krishna created such a combination for Yudhishthir, who is very mild and soft. There was Bhima and Arjun to show the Kshatra Teja. And they showed too much of Kshatra Teja, you know, become very angry whenever somebody did something. Yudhishthira Maharaj was there. By answering questions, he could save them. So Nahusha asked this question, who is Brahmana? And he explained, Brahmana is not by caste. He is not by caste. He is only by character, only by proper occupation. And then in Yaksha Prashna also, Yaksha asked, he said, Yudhishthira, how do you know who is a Brahmana? Yudhishthira Maharaj said same thing. He said, one can know who is Brahmana not by his caste, by his behavior. But again he said, unless one is trained in the process of Brahmanical culture, also one cannot be a Brahmana. And I was just reading a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that how do you recognize one is Brahmana or not, one is not Kshatriya or not? He said, when a son is born, you wait, watch. If he is not practicing the caste of his father, that means he is not from that caste. He said, you create a village system. and there should be a panchayat, and that panchayat should be governed by educated people, those who are educated in Shastra. And when they are born, there is a facility for them to be following their father's caste. If they don't follow father's caste, then you give them 2 years warning. You have a time to change. He writes such a practical thing. If they don't change within 2 years, according to their behavior, then you designate. You are born Brahmana, but what are you doing? You are acting Mlecha. Then you become Mlecha. Huh? So in this way, he is just being very coherent with what Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying in the Mahabharata. And again, he was protected. Who? Bhima, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev. They were all protected by... Again, Madhvacharya explains why they did not answer the question. Why other Pandavas did not answer the question? Because, very interesting, Yaksha told them, you can only drink water if you answer my question. Otherwise, you cannot. So Pandava said, you cannot make water private property. They were right also. Nowadays, you know, they are selling water. Water is becoming, even the river water will be privatized. Our Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was showing me a video, water scarcity in South America. Water will flow through your land, but you cannot take water. Why? Because it is owned by somebody else. Water will become more costlier than oil. In fact, the battles, the war will be fought because of water. So what the Pandava said was right. He said, it is not your lake. Any lake which is there on the surface of earth belongs to whom? Belongs to God. Because it belongs to God, it is everybody's property. You can't say, you know, we can't drink from here. And secondly, your question is that you can only drink water if you answer my question. He said, knowledge cannot be sold. It is like you are asking that knowledge should be sold. He said, when knowledge is sold, that is very dangerous. You cannot sell water, you cannot sell knowledge. If you want, we will answer your question, but not at bargain. So they went to drink water. And of course, you know, they were acting as if they were killed by Yaksha. They agreed for that pastime. And Yudhishthira Maharaj came and he answered all the questions. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, please bless me that I'll be freed from the problem of Kama, Krodha, Lobha. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj sent to the incognito in the place of Virata. Meanwhile, when they were in the forest, Yudhishthira Maharaj learned two vidyas. One was, nobody could defeat him in gambling match. Ultimately learned. Huh? One sage taught him, no, because the sage was being very kind to him, knowing very well the weakness of Yudhishthira Maharaj, that I will teach you an education of gambling that nobody can defeat you. So that from that side also you become now safe. Now, why? Because in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we discussed that at one point of time, Duryodhana was thinking, you know, some other Dronacharya can capture him. And if we invite him for a gambling match, what will happen? He will certainly come. So that sage knew that this is what is going to happen. So better I teach him proper gambling so that nobody can defeat him. He became strong from that point of view also. And secondly, he gave an education to Yudhishthira Maharaj through which, very interesting, when the battle was over, they asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, what was the cost of this battle? Even the cost is given. How much money was spent on this battlefield, on this battle? Yudhishthira Maharaj told that Duryodhana squandered all the tax money. And how much tax? One-sixth of the taxes of the government, of the people who would come to the government. He squandered everything, he taxed more, all that was lost. And secondly, Dhritarashtra asked how many people were killed. The exact figure Yudhishthira Maharaj says, how many people were killed, how many people got injured, and how many people are bepatta, you know, they are missing. We have no figure. Then Dhritarashtra said, how do you know all this figure? He said, no, I got this education. The special education was given to me. So their forest life, their gambling, interesting. Their gambling was, yes, it is a lesson for us. It's a lesson for everybody. And they use that gambling also for their advantage. They developed so many friendships. They collected so much of blessings. They did more yatras you could ever imagine. And they went to so many holy places. And they kept getting the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the forest, expecting that there will be a battle, there will be a war, they made friendship with at least 7 Akshohini Sainya and their kings. They had nothing. So we see that the best example, the Pandavas are the best example of turning everything to their favor. Therefore, in conclusion, yes, we did find fault in Yudhishthira Maharaj, but even the gambling was what? Nothing but he was acting as an instrument of Krishna. He was always saying, Shakuni is my instrument and I am the instrument of destiny. And using this gambling match and disrobing of Draupadi, Krishna decided to wipe out the Kshatriya race, which was acting whimsical and irreligious and demoniac. But again, he gave them the chance also. But they would not accept the chance. Therefore, this battle took place. It was not Krishna's desire. It was their willingness. They wanted this to happen. And that we will discuss tomorrow. Krishna's role in the entire Mahabharata, especially in regards to having the war on the field of Kurukshetra. Because the complaint and the blame is that just see, Arjuna wanted to practice the principle of non-violence. When he wanted to practice such a high level of religion, you know, as taught by Jesus, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you offer it next. What to speak of his cheek, he was willing to offer his life. He was practicing something very higher, and Krishna being very whimsical, in a warmonger, he convinced the Pandavas to fight. No, why? How did you do that? Therefore, even one of the greatest of the diplomat in India, no, Mahatma Gandhiji, Prabhupada says, he said that if war ever happened, I would feel ashamed to be called myself Hindu. Means every day he read Bhagavad Gita. He was, more than us. Many of us, we don't get to read Bhagavad Gita every day. But he read Bhagavad Gita every day. You know, very pure character, absolutely his lifestyle was great. But just see how confusion can take place. If you don't have a proper guru, if you don't have a spiritual master, how much confusion can take place? That he believed in the Gita, he bathed Gita with Gita every day, but he couldn't reconcile. That Gita was spoken for the purpose of what? Convincing Arjuna to fight the war. He said, no, he could not reconcile. If this was spoken for having a war, then there is another concept. That means one who spoke Gita, that Krishna is different. One who was involved in war, that Krishna is different. One who danced with gopis, that Krishna is different. They will make billions of Krishna, everybody is different. But our acharyas say, there is only one Krishna. Yes, Krishna is different in regards to what he does in Vrindavan and what he does in Mathura, that is different. But there are no many Krishna, there is only one Krishna. One who danced with gopis, he is the same Krishna. One who spoke Gita, he is the same Krishna. One who lifted the weapon against Bhishma Dev, he is the same Krishna, is all the same Krishna. So why did he speak Gita, which is full of wisdom, where Krishna speaks in the 12th chapter, favorite chapter of Jinanji Prabhu, Nirmamo, Nirhankara, Sukaduka, Samakshuki. He is speaking that, you know, one should be without anger, one should be without envy, one should be non-violent. He is speaking that in the 12th chapter, then why does he support war? What's his role? Why did he do that? That we will discuss tomorrow, the concluding session of our Mahabharata series of lecture. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.